All right, good morning. So if this is your first time here, you're not in a crazy place. You're in a very unique place where two churches are coming together under the same building, and we're worshiping together. So we're very grateful for that little experience.
The story is told of a man who had a great opportunity that he missed. His friend took him for a ride one day way out in the country. They drove off the main road and drove through groves of trees to a large, uninhabited expanse of land. There were a few horses there and a couple of old shacks had remained. And the friend, Walter, stopped the car, got out, and started to describe with great vividness the wonderful things he was going to build way out there in the country. And he wanted his friend, Arthur, to buy some of the land surrounding his project to get in on this deal at the ground floor level. But Arthur, seeing dirt, dust for miles, thought to himself, this guy is crazy. Who's going to drive 25 miles to come to nowhere and pay money to do it? So Walter explained to his friend, I can handle the main project myself, but it'll take all of my money. I want you in so you can buy all the property around what I own. And then when people start coming here, they'll stay in your hotels and motels. They'll buy food from your restaurants. You'll make a you will gain over 1,000 times your investment. And Arthur thought, what can I say? I knew he was wrong. He said, I knew he'd let this dream get the best of his common sense, so I mumbled something about my money being tied up. It was tight, but I'd think about it, and maybe later on I would do it. Walter said, Arthur, later on will be too late. You'd better act on it now. And so Arthur, Art Linkletter, turned down the opportunity to buy up all the land that surrounded what would become Disneyland. Walter, Walt Disney, tried to talk him into it, but Art didn't have the imagination to dream like Walt Disney did, and he lost out. Walt Disney was one of the greatest people of imagination who ever lived, bar none. Even the engineers at Walt Disney are called Imagineers. Walt Disney is the one who said, if you can dream it, you can do it. One of the greatest gifts that God has given to you and to me as God's children is the gift of imagination. It's the ability to see things in your mind, to think and to create with mental pictures in your mind. God gave you that gift of imagination. Everything starts with imagination. Nothing becomes reality until first somebody thinks it up. Every great business, every great company, every piece of art, every musical note, every church, Calvary, Crossroads, and everyone in between. Somebody had to imagine it before it became reality. Nothing happens unless somebody imagines it. So today I want to talk to you about daring to imagine. If you have your outlines, take them out. You can follow along as we go through this message today. Daring to imagine, daring to dream. As the video said, daring to dream again. Because some of us have lost our dreams along the way. We had big dreams and we lost those dreams. Maybe they didn't come to fruition. Something happened, and all of a sudden we were afraid to dream again because we didn't want to take the risk and we didn't want to get hurt again. We started another dream, and it didn't come about the way we thought it would, and so now we're just taking it easy through life. And I think the older we get, the older you get, the easier it is to back away from the dreams and just take it easy, right? Daring to imagine. Let me say a few things about imagining. Number one, imagination shapes our lives. In other words, the way you think is going to affect the way you feel, and the way you feel is going to affect the way you act. And if you want to change the way you act, you need to first change the way you think. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is." It's God's way of saying, I want you to understand that how I work in your life is through your thoughts. As a man or a woman thinks, his or her heart is formed in that way. Proverbs 4:23 puts it this way, "Be careful how you think. Life is shaped by your thoughts." Walt Disney said, "Disneyland will never be completed. It will continue to grow as long as there is imagination left in the world." Imagination shapes our lives. Secondly, about imagination. Imagination is essential to living by faith. In fact, you cannot live by faith without using your imagination, because you can't see God, so you've got to imagine to practice out your faith. Hebrews 11:1 puts it this way, "What is faith? It's the confident assurance that we hope for what is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see." Notice two things. First, faith is a way of seeing. He says here that God says, whatever we hope for, when you believe it's going to happen, not that it might happen, but that there's hope there. When you believe it will happen, that's faith. God gave us two ways of seeing. First, you can see through your physical eyes. That's one way of seeing. And second, you can see by the imagination of your mind. You can picture things in your mind. And when you dream of them, you can visualize them. That's another way of seeing. Do you remember when you were a child at Christmas? Hopefully during that time you had a couple of presents under the tree. If you were like my dad, you dare not touch one of them because he didn't encourage you not to. He threatened you not to. So me and my brother would go around the tree and we'd look, and some of the presents had name tags on them, so I knew that this was mine. Until I found out later my dad was switching, you know, faked me out. But I knew, and when I looked at that present, I tried to imagine what could be in there. What could that be? Could that be the toy I asked for? Could that be the game that I wanted? Of course, it wound up being socks. But my imagination told me otherwise. You couldn't see that gift, but you were imagining what it was. This is a tool that God says you have to use in walking with Christ. Because you can't see God visually. So when you can't see God, you have to imagine. God has given us the tool of imagination. Think about it. When we take communion, the Lord's Supper, many of you do that every week here, or when we baptize somebody, both of those are symbols engaging your imagination. You don't see the blood of Jesus, but you know the drink that we use, the juice that we use, symbolizes, we imagine that it symbolizes the blood of Christ. You don't see the body of Jesus, but the wafer we eat, the bread we eat, symbolizes, so you imagine that when you eat it. Those symbols engage our imagination. They help us visualize. They help us picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says this, "We set our eyes not on what we see, but on what we cannot see." Now that's interesting. We set our eyes on something we cannot see, Paul says. What we see will last only a short time, but what we cannot see will last forever. What does it mean? It means that the material is temporary and the immaterial is eternal. On the other hand, you can't see God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit, but they're going to last for all eternity. You can't see your soul, but it's going to last for eternity. The Bible says you need to focus on the things that will last for eternity, on the things you can't see with your eyes. You have to imagine them. You only see them by imagination. How many of you have ever pictured what heaven will be like? A lot of times when someone passes, I know in my family when people have passed away, I visualize them in heaven. To this day, I visualize them in heaven, what they're doing. I visualize one day that I'll have a chance to go be with them again. I literally see it in my mind. And imagination is essential to living by faith. Number three, great lives are built around great dreams. No one is naturally a great person. You didn't just pop out of your mom as a great person. You became great by attaching yourself to something greater than you, a greater cause, a greater purpose, a greater dream, a greater God. You need something bigger than yourself to draw you out of yourself, to make you grow better than yourself, and that's what makes you a great person. Until you have a great dream, you won't live out being that great person. Greatness comes from what you attach yourself to. That's why you need something bigger that pulls the greatness out of you. I want you to unlock your imagination, folks. I want you to become that greater person that God wants you to be. I want you to dream and visualize and think about how God wants to use your future, your finances, your family, your giving, your ministry, your career. How does God want to use our churches? How does God want to use Calvary Church? How does God want to use Crossroads Church? Can we have a dream about that? Can we have a vision about that? Ephesians 1:18 says, "May God enlighten the eyes of your mind so that you can see the hope that He is calling for each of you." May God enlighten the eyes of your mind so we can see the hope that God holds for us. He's not talking about our physical eyes here. He's talking about our imagination, our faith. He's saying, "I'm praying that your imagination will come alive in faith, that you'll be able to see God's dream for your life, God's vision for your life, God's purpose and plan for your life, God's calling on your life. God wants more for you than just to wake up the next day and eat and breathe and do your job and work and enjoy some things and go to bed and do it all over again. There's more to life than that. You've got to have your dream, your vision, your imagination that God has given you and live it out." Most people miss their calling in life. Why? Because they're following their dream instead of God's dream. God said, "I want to give you my dream for your life." That's your calling. He says, when you understand that I've made you, what I've made you for, what I've built you for, what I have a vision for your life, then you're going to have hope for living. You'll know your calling. If you want significance in your life, if you want satisfaction in your life, if you want fulfillment in your life, this is what you've got to do. You've got to stop following your dream for your life, and you've got to start following God's dream for your life. We need to stop following our dream for our particular churches. Charles said a few minutes ago, we have two churches worshiping here. Yeah, we do. And Crossroads doesn't need to be finishing or doesn't need to be following what they think their dream is for Crossroads. And Calvary doesn't need to be thinking and following what they want to follow, what they think their dream for Calvary is. That'll take either church down the wrong road. We need to be thinking, God, what do you want for Crossroads Church? God, what do you want for Calvary Church? And line up behind his plan, not our plans. I've seen too many churches, and long before I was a Crossroads non-denominational church pastor, for 35 years, I was a Baptist church pastor. I feel you, brother. I've been in a lot of churches where they started out great, and I'm not saying this either one of ours is like this, but I am saying I've been in a lot of churches where the church started out right, and it was under God's guidance, it was God's church, it was God's ministry, it was God's everything, and they were doing God's work, but something happened between year one and year, I don't know, 20, 25, 30, 50 years, and all of a sudden, it was my church, and my pews, and my ministries, and my preacher. And whenever the mindset leaves that this is God's and becomes mine, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. We need to remember whose we are. We are not ourselves. We need to remember whose our churches are. They are not ours. They are God's. And we need to have the dream and the vision for the church, our churches, that God wants us to have. Proverbs 29:18, look there. Where there is no vision, the people perish. You know what they call a church with no vision? A vision of God's vision instilled in the people. You know what they call that church? Dying or dead. Even if they open the doors every week, they're going nowhere. They're pedaling fast. They're swimming as good as they can, but they're making no progress until we get God's vision of us, of what he wants for each of us individually as his children. Remember, folks, God's purposes come in seasons, especially for churches. Many churches serve God for a season, and then God calls them to serve somewhere else or says, it's no longer what I need, and they're no longer there. They don't exist anymore. Think about this. What do these churches have in common? Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, those of you who read your Bible a lot, what churches, what seven churches are they? They're in the New Testament, written in Revelation, and God was giving a word to those churches. Those churches were alive. Some of them were alive and well. Some of them were alive and not well. But they were New Testament churches. Do you know what? Not one of those churches exists today. Not one. They were there for a season. And God used them and blessed them and grew them. And then God said, thank you. We don't need you to be here anymore. Let's do something else. We're the same way. We're here for a season. We like our season to be longer than shorter, right? We want to get into that 85, 90, 95, 100 looks good to me season. But even through all of those years, we have seasons of life. Right? Number four, God's dream for my life is bigger than my dream for my life. It's exponentially bigger. It is far bigger. It's eternally significant. There are a lot of dreams. You can have a big dream, but they wouldn't be significant dreams. You could dream about being a millionaire by a certain age. But for what purpose? God didn't put us on this planet, folks, to live for ourselves. Neither did he put churches here to live for themselves, to serve themselves. He puts churches here to get their hands dirty, to make an impact on a lost world, winning one person at a time to Jesus Christ, and then developing them in the faith. God's dream for your church, God's dream for Calvary, God's dream for Crossroads, God's dream, if you're visiting with us, for your home church, is far bigger than what we could dream up ourselves. Ephesians 3:20 says this: God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by his Spirit working deeply and gently within us. God can do far more than we could ever imagine. God can do that in your life. God can do that in your family. God can do that in your business. God can do that in our churches. You may have no idea what God wants to do in your life. We may have no idea what God wants to do in our churches at this moment. We're just living a small fraction of what we're capable of. But God says, if you'll let me control your life and your mind and your imagination and your faith, I'll give you a dream that you could never imagine what he would want to do. God wants us. He wants me. He wants us. He wants our churches to dream big. It honors God to dream big. And we should let the size of our God determine the size of our goals. Someone said, if you shoot high, if you go for the gusto, if you go for it all and miss, that's okay, because I know you went for all that was out there. But if you shoot low and small and hit it, you've not done what God really wanted you to do. Shooting small is not dreaming big. God should determine the size of our goals. God's dream for our churches is bigger than any dream we could ever imagine. Number five. Doubt is the enemy of imagination. Doubt and fear neutralize what God wants to do in our lives. It takes courage to imagine. Why? Because a lot of people don't like to imagine because they're afraid of failure. There's a great story in the Bible about a man who had a son who was sick. He came to Jesus, and we pick up the story in Mark chapter 9. I think I might have shared this with you several weeks, maybe a couple months ago. A man came to Jesus and he said, please heal my son if you can. And Jesus replied, what do you mean if I can? Anything is possible if you believe or if a person believes. And the father replied, I do believe, but help me not to doubt, or help my unbelief. I called this honest faith. I know you can, I have faith, but honestly, Jesus, there's a part of me that says, oh, I'm not sure, I'm afraid, I'm concerned, I don't know if I want to jump in the water. I'm so glad that even though that man had mixed faith, he showed his faith, he showed a lack of faith, and yet Jesus said, that's good enough for me, and Jesus healed his son. You know why I like that? Because it means even my little faith, sometimes my doubting faith, it's enough for God. I don't have to have all my doubts answered. I don't have to have all my questions resolved in order to live by faith. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. God says that's good enough. How many of you like to have all your questions answered before you make a decision? This guy. Well, that fights against my faith. Fights against my faith. But it's good to know I can ask the questions. It's good to know God doesn't back down from that. It's good to know he accepts me when I'm honest in my doubts and still want to trust him. Number six. God's Spirit and God's Word will fuel our imagination. These are the two resources that God provides to energize our dreams so we don't run out of gas in the middle of them. God gives you His own Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and He gives you His Word with promises to read. In John 14, 16, and 17, it says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will be with you forever. That helper is the Spirit of truth. You know him because he lives with you and will be in you. This is where God's power comes from. It's not from self-help psychology. It's not to build yourself up with positive mental thinking. It's the Holy Spirit of God working in you, giving you power that you don't have on your own. The other source for refueling is God's Word. Look at Psalm 119, verse 18 and verse 27. It says this, open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your law. Help me understand the meaning of your commandments, and I will meditate on your wonderful miracles. A key to being refueled through the Spirit of God and through God's Word is having a daily quiet time. It's just a time when you listen to God, you read a little bit of His Word, you talk to God, and it helps maintain the vision and the dream for your life, or multiple visions, multiple dreams for your life, or for our church. It's the key to being stronger and healthier in your imagination, using a daily quiet time. Now, you say, people ask me all the time, well, how much time should I spend in my daily quiet time? Whatever you need. If you need 3 minutes and you read a couple of verses and you just want to have a quick talk with God, that's fine. If you want 15 minutes to read a little bit more and concentrate and pray for some more people, that's fine. If you want 30 minutes for your quiet time, have at it. Just make it regular. Make it daily. Make it consistent. And it'll make a difference in your life. Look at Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom. So I know what to say to all these weary ones. Morning by morning he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. You get alone with God, with the Holy Spirit, read a couple of verses in God's Word, you talk to God, you think about it, you consider it, and God energizes you through that. If you're not having a daily quiet time, it's no wonder that your dreams and your visions are leaking. But you can fix the leak. Say, oh, I used to do it, I just got out of the habit. I get it. We all get out of habits. Good habits, we do. Well, just start the habit again. And if you do it for 3 or 4 days or a week, if you do it for 15 days or a month, and then you stop, well, then just do it again. And if you miss a day, then do it the next day. It's not hard. Dare to imagine. What does God want in your life, for your life? What does he want to do through your life? What does God want? Dare to dream for your family. What does God want for our church? Folks, we need to remember, we are not our own. We are God's children. You are not your own. You are God's. Your family isn't your own. He entrusted you with them, but they are God's. This church, Calvary and Crossroads, is not our own. He's entrusted us to it. We're stewards of the church, but it is God's. That's a big difference. You know what? Nothing you own is yours. You're a manager. It's going to be gone from your hands in no time. It is not going to live on forever, not down here, and it's not going up to heaven with you. All that God gives us, we are, the Bible calls it, stewards. The word means to be a manager of. It's not mine and Libby's house. It's God's house. He lets us manage it. It's not your car. It's God's car. He lets you manage it. This isn't your building. Crossroads, when we met together, that wasn't ours. It's God's, and we, what? Manage it. It's his. And who are we, when God ever tells us, here's my vision for your life, who are we to say no? Well, we do it sometimes, don't we? That's not being a good manager. When we do that, God can't give us his full blessing. He can't use us the way he wants to. We need to say, God, you know what? No matter what history I've had in my life, I just want to renew the fact, my understanding in my mind, in my heart, in my head, I want you to know, God, I'm just renewing the truth, all of it, all of me, all of what I have, all of what I own, as different churches, Crossroads, and Calvary, all of who we are is not ours. God, it is yours, and your will be done in your timing. God, give us your dream. I love the words that Martin Luther used in his sermon. I have a what? Dream. God, give us your dream. Let's pray together. God, thank you for speaking to us in your word about dreaming, about having imagination, about having vision in our lives, for our families, for our work, for our studies, for our churches. We ask you to, again, open our hearts, our minds, our imaginations, to dare to receive your dreams and your visions, knowing that everything is already yours. Get us in line, Lord, to follow behind you in the way that you lead in every area of our life, for our churches. So as you direct us, we will follow you. Now, God, there are some people here. I feel very strongly there are people here who've had dreams and visions, but they didn't come true, and they feel sad, and they're scared to dream again. I understand that, Father, and so do you. Bless these folks, God. Bless us with the ability to dare to dream again. Renew us, heal us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.